This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to podcast number 9 of Against the Grain.
Welcome to Against the Grain podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
What an intro. This is Brian Wilkes here with the number one, Dr. Chad Edwards.
How are you today, Brian?
Good. America's doctor. That's what I'm going to start calling you.
I love it.
America's doctor. You like it?
I do. Like Captain America?
Yeah, I like it. Hey, I got a story for you.
Okay.
Let's hear it. And this will introduce, and then we'll go right into what pays the bills around here, right?
Okay.
Let's introduce the topic, though. When I was a boy, my mom wore a mood ring, right? When she was in a good mood, it turned blue. When she was in a bad mood, it left a big red mark on my forehead.
I love it.
So today we're going to talk about the thyroid. So if particularly the moms out there, right?
Yeah.
What could be causing me, other than the sloppy husband and the bad kids and all the other stuff a mom has to deal with in a given day, what could be causing me to have such low energy and to be so upset?
Yeah, so obviously thyroid is way up on the list, and yep, we're going to be getting into some stuff with thyroid and how we commonly address thyroid and how we try to help that in traditional medicine, and then how I kind of disagree with some of that.
Bingo. Let's do it. So let's talk about Revolution Health and Wellness Clinic.
Am I doing that or are you?
You're doing it.
Okay. Revolution Health and Wellness Clinic. If you're tired and fatigued, if you have musculoskeletal problems, low back pain, knee pain, sports injuries, neck pain, any of those kinds of things, come see us. We do prolotherapy, platelet-rich plasma therapy, stem cell therapy. We do some amazing regenerative injection techniques to try and get you back to peak performance without pain. Give us a call at 918-935-3636 or visit us on our website at revolutionhealth.org.
It's not bad for a doctor.
Hey, thanks.
I didn't think you guys could do that.
I stayed up all night practicing.
In the mirror. This is radio, though, right? Or a podcast.
But yeah.
Yeah. Upper Cervical Health Centers. Upper Cervical Health Centers is not your typical chiropractic office. Different in that they never jerk, twist, snap, or crack your spine. How many times have you been to a chiropractor where you don't feel better when you walk out? It feels like they've broken something. Not these folks. That's what's good about them.
Yep.
Right?
So, and they look at a holistic, from top down, looking at overall health. They do some amazing things.
Yeah, good people over there. 918-742-2300. Or you can visit their website at www.uppercervicaltulsa.com/newyou. Chad, let's talk about the thyroid. What is it and where did it come from?
So it came from your mom? And that's not really your mom joke.
Yeah.
Although maybe now it is.
And now I'm convinced doctors can't do plugs and they can't do jokes. So let's
can't?
Just, can't. I would say most doctors are not funny.
Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
All right.
Right.
So thyroid. So this is a gland that lives in your neck.
Right.
And it kicks out a series of hormones. So T4, T3, T2, T1. There's a couple of other hormones that it will play with. But so when we talk about thyroid and the thyroid hormones, you have thyroid hormone receptors in virtually every cell in your body. And these thyroid hormones go inside the cell and cause a whole host of changes that are basically the gas pedal for your metabolism. So when you don't have adequate thyroid hormone, then you can feel fatigued. You can feel weak and draggy and all of these kinds of things. The way I was taught to evaluate the thyroid in medical school. So this patient comes in to see us. We think, okay, this patient has a thyroid problem. Mm-hmm. Let's check a TSH. TSH stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. So we're taught that all we need, this is what I was taught anyway, all we need is a TSH and we can manage your thyroid from there. If your TSH is high, that means your thyroid function is actually low, and we'll talk about why. And if your TSH is low, it means your thyroid activity, your thyroid hormones are actually too high. So it's opposite.
Is a thyroid in the goiter? Have you heard of the goiter?
So the goiter is a thyroid condition.
I gotcha.
So a goiter is an enlarged thyroid.
Okay.
Usually because of iodine deficiency.
Okay.
So stuff just gets trapped in there and can't get out, and and you give them iodine. We used to see that way back. We still see it some, not much. Hmm. So the goiter affects the thyroid, and so that's when you see these big necks, mm-hmm. because the thyroid gland is so enlarged. So the thyroid stimulating hormone, it comes out from the brain, and so it's actually a brain hormone. It's not a thyroid hormone.
Right.
So it comes from the anterior pituitary gland, and it stimulates the thyroid gland to make more thyroid hormone.
Right.
T3, T4, all that stuff, which then goes out to the body and does what thyroid does. So again, going back to what I was taught, all you need is a TSH. If the TSH is, mm-hmm. is in this normal range, then their thyroid's normal. And really all they do is evaluate the TSH. Now, there's a number of problems with this. The first one is, go back to our podcast before where we talked about labs and where does normal come from. And I will tell you that there are a lot of abnormal thyroid hormone level patients that have what are considered to be normal thyroid hormone or normal TSH levels. And I argue, in fact, the American Academy of Clinical Biochemists changes the range for thyroid. Most labs are going to be roughly 0.5 to 5 on the TSH. The American Academy of Clinical Biochemists says it's 2.5 or less. I've seen some stuff talking about the American Academy of Clinical Endocrinology changing it from 0.5 to 5 down to 0.3 to 3.
Right, right.
Changing these reference ranges because, we're missing people. And I think even traditional medicine has latched on to some of that. So this this thyroid stimulating hormone, when it's low, thyroid hormone hormones themselves tend to be elevated and vice versa. The issue, if you look at the guidelines, what are called clinical practice guidelines for the management of hypothyroidism. So hypo meaning below,
right.
Thyroid, so not enough thyroid hormone, an underactive thyroid gland. These clinical practice guidelines will talk about this what's called subclinical hypothyroidism. Mm-hmm. Subclinical meaning that we don't detect any clinical problems. The patient says that they're doing fine, but their TSH is too high. So it's traditionally between 5 and 10. And the clinical practice guidelines say that you have to approach that individually. And the decision to treat these patients with, if it's less than 10, you got to take all things into consideration, individual, one-on-one basis kind of thing. Well, my thought is, aren't we supposed to do that anyway? Aren't we supposed to evaluate risks and benefits anyway?
Right, right, right.
But I have never seen a patient that felt great with a TSH of 8. I've never seen it.
Why are so many, it seems like this is kind of becoming an epidemic, thyroid problems. Well, what's the cause?
This will have to be another, that portion will have to be another podcast because it can be from a number of issues. You have to look at, is this an autoimmune thyroiditis like we call Hashimoto's thyroiditis? And there are a whole host of problems. It can be iodine deficiency. It could be environmental toxins, heavy metals. It can be what some people would call a leaky gut or an altered gut permeability.
That sounds sexy.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Leaky gut. We'll have a mm-hmm. podcast on sexy someday too.
Yep.
Because we're bringing sexy back.
I love it.
Oh, come on. That was a doctor joke. Come on.
One thyroid patient at a time. It is important to know that I'm looking at some facts here again from our friends at Google.
Yes.
And it says that an estimated 27 million Americans have some sort of thyroid complications.
And that is a scientific fact.
We think.
Exactly.
But it's a high number.
But it is very common. Now, the issue for me is, the way I was trained, again, goes back to that TSH, and we're managing TSH. The issue for me is that, one of my one of my heroes is Sir William Osler, who was a physician in the early 1900s. And he, one of his quotes was, listen to your patient. They're telling you the diagnosis.
That's good.
So when you actually listen to what the patient tells you, then you can get a better solution for that patient. And I used to have patients come in that say, I feel awful. They were on Synthroid, and that's the brand name or one of the brand names of levothyroxine or synthetically derived commercially available T4 only medications, thyroid replacement. And they'll come in and they'll say, you know, I feel awful. Well, they started on Synthroid or any of the T4, you know, levothyroxine or, you know, any of the other names of it. They were started on that because that's what most doctors are trained to do. And they are managing their TSH. Mm-hmm. So their TSH is too high.
Right.
They'll put them on Synthroid and they'll lower the TSH levels. And, you know, their TSH gets down to 2, 1.5, and then voila, you're fixed. And the patient's like, no, I'm not. My hair's still falling out. My skin still feels like crap. I still feel horrible. I can't get out of bed. What's
Run
going
down,
on?
No energy.
And then what I hear so often is that the patients tell me that their doctor said, well, you know, it must be in your head. You're crazy. You're depressed. You need an antidepressant. There's something wrong with your hormones. I mean, any number of things. And
it's hard to believe doctors have the courage to tell women that.
Oh, but yeah. You have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I hear it every
day. Seriously, there's got to be some sexism involved there. Like, you're emotional. You're just emotional, right? There's this perception. You're just emotional. Get over it, right?
Well,
rather than treating some serious
I don't know that it's so much sexism as right. It is patientism.
Well, another quote by Sir William Osler said, is that right? Osler?
Yeah,
did I get it right?
Yeah.
The good physician treats the disease. The great physician treats the patient who has the disease.
You know, you are awesome.
Woo!
That's another one of my favorites.
Tough one. That's a tough one.
Did you look over my shoulder at my notes?
I did.
Because I love that one. That's great.
Yeah, I cheated.
So are we treating, to use a little bit of a story, so when I remember the first time I took ACLS, you know, it's Advanced Cardiac Life Support, you know, it's
right.
Where you learn how to run a code and their heart stopped and all those things. So I took this, and we're going through the different rhythms, and we look at, there's a rhythm called pulseless electrical activity. And what that means is the heartbeat looks normal on the monitor.
Right.
So it looks like it's normal, but you check the pulse, and there's no pulse.
Wow.
So if you look at the monitor, the patient looks fine.
Is it some sort of a electrical wave that it's giving out?
The electrical activity in the heart usually corresponds to the mechanical activity of the heart. So usually those mm-hmm. two go together.
Mm-hmm.
The old term, I think, was electromechanical dissociation, EMD.
Mm-hmm.
That was an old term. Probably, you know, dates me back to like Paul Harvey and
right.
and you know, the other stuff that you've mocked me about in the past.
I love hanging out with you, though, because all the discounts you get for AARP and stuff like that.
You're
fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Pays
you,
to have older friends. I want to see you continue
Man.
With this. By the way, I know you're old, but I love this analogy, though. So you can literally look at the pulse on the monitor, and you got no pulse with the person.
Right.
That's
so
amazing.
The monitor looks normal. The patient is dying.
Wow.
So if you ignored what the patient said and just treated the monitor, you're doing a great job.
Hmm.
But, you know, so, and they'll tell you in the ACLS course, they often say, treat the patient, not the monitor, treat the patient, not the monitor. Yet when I get out and, you know, start doing my clinical rotations from medical school, I go in and start working on thyroid, and the patient says they feel awful and their TSH is normal because they're on Synthroid. And I come out and I say, the patient says they feel awful, but the TSH is normal. And they are saying, treat the monitor, not the patient, treat the monitor, not the patient. And I'm like, but you just told me treat the patient, not the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And so we like completely disconnect that. Or we'll blame it on something else, or we'll not know, or and most of the time it's because we don't know. And it's another reason, you know, is this interconnected nature of the body. And, you know, when we talk about a functional medicine approach, we're looking at how everything interacts with everything else. So we can have a stress response from the brain, altering the what's called the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which can have an effect on the thyroid.
That's a mouthful.
And I know. I practiced that also.
You went all doctor on me.
So these different processes that are impacted by a number of different things alter the function of the thyroid. And there is, so we talked about T4.
Right.
And, TSH is this brain hormone that tells the thyroid what to do. We give Synthroid, which is T4. Which T4 feeds back to the brain, says we've got enough, shuts down production of T4, and so your TSH goes to normal. That's this concept. And so we think we're doing a great job. But the problem is that T4 has a fraction of the activity of the active hormone, which is T3. Now, your thyroid gland primarily produces T4, but it does produce a small amount of T3.
Right.
When we give you Synthroid, we're decreasing the brain telling the thyroid gland to do something. So we're basically, you know, if you think about it like a factory making cars, we're like outsourcing. Mm-hmm. So this factory is no longer making cars. Well, the T3 that you were getting from your thyroid gland, you know, which is roughly about 10%, depending on what study you look at, roughly about 10%. If we shut down the production from the thyroid gland, you're not getting that 10% either.
Right.
So in some cases, patients can actually feel worse because T3 is the form of the hormone that you really need. And I have seen patients that were on T3 only medications with T3 levels that looked fantastic. Their T4 was in the toilet, as in very, very low. And then their TSH levels were very, very low. But their T3 levels were appropriate, and they felt fantastic.
Right.
T3 is what you need. T3 is what you need. Not Synthroid, not T4. Patients can have great T4 levels, great TSH levels, and feel like crap. And you adjust their thyroid. And I can tell a story about that as well. That was actually a shocking story. And I can tell it now, or I can wait a minute.
Well, let's tell a story.
Okay.
It's story time.
So I had a 94-year-old lady come in to see me. So this was a very high-functioning 94-year-old lady, lived at an assisted living facility.
Right.
She walked with a walker, but a very, very pleasant lady, and she had been doing very well. She was on a low dose of Synthroid, and I'd been seeing her for a while. And then she comes in to see me one day with one of the caregivers, one of the activity directors in this facility, and this lady was slumped over in her wheelchair, like couldn't sit up straight. And she said, "I'm weak." And they said, "She is not acting like herself at all. This is a problem and a definite change in how she was doing. And we don't know why." So of course, because of the way she looked, I'm like, my goodness, this could be neurologic. I want to make sure she didn't have a stroke. All of these kinds of things. So let's check into that stuff. So I actually sent her to a neurologist. I obtained an MRI of the brain. And of course I got labs. One of the labs that I got is what's called a reverse T3, but I also got TSH, T4, T3. So and I was taught in medical school that reverse T3, it's hogwash. It's not real, or it doesn't really matter. I'm here to tell you that it does. So this patient's T4 was very appropriate. She was on Synthroid. Her T3 was very low, and her reverse T3 was extremely elevated. Now, when you look at the biochemistry, T4 is like the parent compound, and it goes through an enzyme called a deiodinase, and there's different versions of that, you know, 1, 2, 3, blah, 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 blah. So it converts T4 to T3, but there is a normal biochemical mechanism for creating this reverse T3.
Right.
So you remove a different iodine, and that chemical then behaves very differently. And one of the issues is that not only does it take away that T4 molecule that can no longer become T3, but that reverse T3 binds to the same receptor that T3 binds to, but it doesn't exert physiologic effect. And so in effect, you're diverting away the T4, so you're
right,
making something that doesn't work, and it plugs the spot for the one that actually does.
Right.
So we look at this T3 reverse T3 ratio, and it can give me an idea of how the patient feels. And her TSH, remember, was completely normal. And we talked before about, I forget what we called her, but I think we called her Sally, about her TSH level being normal.
Right.
Is in one of our earlier podcasts.
Right.
And her reverse T3 was like way high. So this lady, her reverse T3 was way high. So I was like, I don't know if that's what's going on, because that can be elevated in older patients. So didn't really know, is this what's going on? So long story short, I ended up taking her off Synthroid and putting her on T3 only. That was on a Wednesday. Excuse me. On Monday, she had a follow-up appointment with her neurologist, and I got a letter Monday afternoon from that neurologist that said, there's nothing we need to do. She's completely back to normal.
Wow.
In 4 days.
Wow.
And this is in a patient that there was nothing wrong with her thyroid, but it felt like it was a thyroid problem. But it was because she was on T4 only, Synthroid, and her real problem was a conversion problem, where she was converting that T4 that we're giving her to reverse T3. Why is another topic, and we can have a podcast about that in the future. But she felt dramatically different on T3 only.
Dr. Chad, America's doctor.
I did the best I
can. You know, hey, I'll tell you, I'm pretty impressed by the story, and I'm more impressed because I know one thing, because I had grandparents. Once you hit 90 years old, you don't mind telling somebody they did a bad job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And very rarely will you say, I feel better.
Right.
It's a pretty impressive story because obviously at 90 years old, you know, percentage-wise, it's pretty special when someone feels like there's an improvement.
Oh, yeah.
And I would think it's pretty also pretty sad that it possibly took a long time for her to get to you to really get some help, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's no telling how long this lady had kind of suffered through this, right?
Yep.
And so pretty amazing story.
And it just underscores how Synthroid isn't always the answer. I mean, it certainly has its place. Synthroid isn't always the answer. TSH, following TSH alone is definitely not the answer.
Right, right.
But you got to understand the whole picture. And it's very nuanced. There's a lot to it. And we're just scratching the surface. But just as an introduction, TSH is not the only lab checking for thyroid.
Yeah. So before we bounce here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the symptoms of a thyroid problem,
yeah.
Right? Specifically for listeners out there, if you're feeling what?
So if you're feeling tired and fatigued,
right,
can't get out of bed in the morning, you could have lower basal body temperatures. So, you know, 90 in the 97s instead of that 98.6.
Right.
You know, you can definitely have some lower average body temperatures. You can have some skin problems, dry skin, those kinds of things. You can have constipation. You can have hair loss. There's a whole host of symptoms, but those would be the big ones.
I got in the notes here, ask about NDT.
So NDT is natural desiccated thyroid. So that is like Armour thyroid or Natrothroid. Now, the interesting thing about this is a lot of endocrinologists are opposed to therapy with natural desiccated thyroid. There's a website that talks about, you know, kind of quackery and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you don't ever use natural desiccated thyroid. Yet there's nothing in the scientific literature that says not to. There's one particular manufacturer of natural desiccated thyroid that's had some recalls in the past.
Right.
They were recalled by the FDA. Those medications are controlled by the FDA. The particular thyroid that I use, that I recommend, the natural desiccated thyroid that I recommend, has not had recalls. We get very consistent results. We've not had issues. And it's not the version that a lot of people will hear about. You know, I use Natrothroid, and Armour had a recall. You know, I think it was in 2005. That may not have been the only one, but the Natrothroid I've had very good success with. It's worked really well. But it has T4 and T3. So both of those, you know, it's the T3 that tends to help people feel better. And I've had patients, I've got them on my website. You can go to the testimonial section, and I've had patients that just came back in tears because it made all the difference in the world for them. And there's nothing in the hypothyroidism guidelines that say don't use it.
Hmm.
Yet I hear it from so many physicians, you should never do that. It doesn't say it anywhere in the literature.
Mm-hmm.
This is bad advice that's been propagated over and over and over again.
Again, before we go, I want to talk just 30 seconds on compounds and why they're important.
So you can, you know, the normal human thyroid is roughly 90% T4, 10% T3. The natural desiccated thyroid is either bovine or porcine derived and is generally in that 80-20 kind of role. So 80% T4, 20% T3. So you end up getting a little higher proportion of T3. So it's not uncommon that we'll measure their levels and their T3 levels are a little bit higher. We can, through compounding, we can get the ratio exactly what we want and the patient needs.
Let me just say, for people that don't understand what compounding is, imagine you have your stomach is upset, you have Tums, and you've got a headache. Instead of taking extra high doses to fix both problems, you would compound those two together.
Right.
For a natural occurring
right.
effect to both.
Right.
Rather than overdosing on both.
Right. So through compounding, right. we can really any chemical, we can put it in the proportion that the patient needs and customize it for that patient.
Right. It's like a custom car, man.
Now, I don't own a compounding pharmacy. I have no stock. I have no financial ties
right.
to compounding whatsoever. But I believe it's one of the best things that we can do to take care of our patients because it's customized for that patient.
Yeah, it's the knock on the healthcare industry. Everyone is uniquely created by God, right?
That's right.
And so they should be uniquely cared for.
That's right.
And we should have unique medicine.
Like unique New York.
Unique. Keyword. All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you on the next podcast.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week where we'll be going against the grain.